Well, let's do just that. Let's continue with a heart of worship as we open up God's Word. We're in 2 Timothy, and back in our study there, 2 Timothy 3, we're going to talk about facing danger today. This week, we had another terrorist attack, and this time in San Bernardino, California. And our friends in the world demonstrated once again that they really don't know how to understand what's happening in the world. They don't really understand why these types of things happen. In fact, maybe you saw the front page of the New York Daily News. And even though we don't get that paper, that's what we've seen plastered around. And the headline, remember, God is not fixing this. And of course, it was a political statement. It's basically one side of the political spectrum attacking the other side. You're just talking about prayer. We want to take legal action, put laws in place that will somehow maybe prevent this. But wasn't it a stunning, bold rejection? That statement. God's not fixing this. Quit all your God talk and get on with our agenda and our idea of how we might stop this. But listen, God is the answer. But here's the deal. Humanity will not have him. God's the answer, but over and over again, humanity says, we don't want you. In fact, Jesus said this. John 3:16, we know very well, just a couple of verses after John 3:16, Jesus said these words, John 3:19, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. So God can fix this. We have a Savior, and yet mankind over and over again by the majority says we don't want him. You and I actually know the problem. And so our friends in the world, we love our neighbors, but they can't put their brain around how, why, I don't know what to do. And you and I go, we know what the problem is. The problem is that there's darkness in every human heart. Now, thankfully, by the grace of God, it doesn't always go to this extent. Not everybody has a propensity to murder or terrorism. Aren't you glad? The grace of God there. Most of us, that's just an unimaginable thought. And nevertheless, we go, but there's still darkness in here. There's still evil resident here. And so when we see things like this happen, yes, we can't wrap our brain around that type of act, but we go, but we understand the problem. There's the depravity of human beings. And God is the answer for that. In fact, the gospel message is all about that, that there's salvation and transformation available through Jesus Christ. Think about this with me. We just celebrated the Lord's Supper. We just celebrated the gospel. But the good news is not just, although it's wonderful, the good news is not just that through Jesus Christ, we get to live forever and ever with him. Now, that is awesome. But that's not the extent, the full extent of the gospel. It's not just, oh, this is wonderful, that all my sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ and I'm reconciled to God. It's not just that, and that's glorious. It would be enough. But listen, when a person turns from sin and trusts in Jesus Christ, total life transformation now is on. It's not over in a second, but when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, when you say, I'm sorry, I've been wrong, I've been a rebel, I repent of my sin, I turn to you, Jesus, forgive me, save me. When you trust Jesus like that, the Holy Spirit takes residence in your life, and now a transformation process is on as you cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Total life transformation. So though all of us born with darkness in our hearts, we can be changed, and we praise God for that. Jesus is the answer to dark hearts like all of us possess. So God is the one that we should be looking for, but we know this, not everybody believes. And here's what we do. We think, well, what about this? I would like to be safe. I wish I could guarantee safety for me and mine, but we can't. Now, we know a day of absolute safety is coming. When Jesus returns, for the believer in Jesus Christ, that's the final rescue. And he will usher in a new heaven, new earth, and all those wonderful promises. No more tears, no more pain, no more death, all that. Isn't that wonderful? Perfect safety is coming. But right now we're on the earth. And many, without coming to Christ for forgiveness and transformation. And so we live in risky times. We say we live in dangerous times. There's never been a safe time. In fact, if we think back to the first Christmas, part of that story is the slaughtering of children in Bethlehem, remember, as Herod went crazy. It's never been a safe time on earth. So this helps us. We think, how do I live in a time like this? Well, we're on our way to our text. We haven't gotten there yet. But real quickly, here's a practical question. In uncertain times like these, are you ready to die? at your upcoming Christmas party, perhaps, if something like what happened in San Bernardino happens in your gathering, can't guarantee it won't. Not likely, but can't guarantee it won't. But are you ready to die? Are you ready to meet the Lord? If you're among the casualties and your family's grieving and they're talking to the news and people gather in memorial services for you, will you be in heaven with God? This is a wonderful time. We haven't gotten our text yet. This is a perfect time to say, I need forgiveness. If you're not sure you know Jesus, get to know him right now. You can trust Jesus right where you're sitting by acknowledging what I just said a moment ago. I've been wrong. It takes humility to come into the kingdom of God. Your first move is, I've been wrong. I've thought my own thoughts. I've lived my own life. I haven't followed you, Lord. I have sinned. But you are the remedy for sin. It's what we just celebrated. I put my confidence in you and no longer in me. I turn that I might trust you and follow you. You can be born again, have the gift of everlasting life. And then, yes, in a world of uncertainties, you'll have that most important certainty of all. But let's go to our text, because this is helpful for us as we live in a dangerous time. And so let's look together. 2 Timothy 3, picking up in verse 10. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance. Here we go. Persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things that you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you've known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Wow, you look at a text like that, you think, there's no way Jim can do justice to that text in this little bit of time, and you're absolutely right. In fact, I might have to take some of this for a future week, especially when it talks about the scriptures. We'll have to do that in full in another week. But right now, let's take on a couple of thoughts here. First thought is this, it's not always going to be safe. That's one of the things our text just taught us. It's not always going to be safe on this earth. Here's another call for us to have right expectations about the Christian life and right expectations about life on this earth until Christ returns. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, you know me, you know what I've taught you, and you know how I've lived. You know the truth, and you know the example I've set, and listen to this, including suffering. And he specifically names three occasions of persecution. He gives the three cities. Hey, Timothy, you know about these three instances. By the way, those weren't the only three times Paul was persecuted. Paul was persecuted a lot. In fact, let me just real quickly read to you 2 Corinthians 11, 23 and following. He says, real quickly, are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so in far more labors, listen to this, in far more imprisonments, plural, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. We're going to read it. I'm going to tell you about that in a moment in Lystra. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Paul suffered a lot, but right here in 2 Timothy 3, hey, Timothy, let's just focus on three. You remember these three cities, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what happened to me there? Let's just take Lystra, just for the sake of time. We read about it in Acts chapter 14. Lystra is very interesting. Paul was a part of a healing. God did the healing. Paul got to be an instrument on that particular day when a man who was crippled was healed. People were so impressed in the city of Lystra that they thought that Paul and Barnabas, who was with him, that they were Greek gods. You remember studying Greek mythology in school? Nobody believes that anymore, but Paul lived in a time when they did. In fact, the priest from the Zeus temple comes up, seeing the man healed, and they bring oxen and a garland to put on them. they were going to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. They thought that Barnabas was Zeus, and they thought that Paul was Hermes because he was doing all the talking. And it says in Acts 14, they had to work really hard to stop the Zeus worshipers from killing the oxen for them. They had to work really hard. We're just people like you. We have the same nature as you. And then they turned and started preaching Jesus to them. But then we read that after this, people came from the other cities of persecution. They came from Antioch. They came from Iconium. Those who had persecuted Paul there, they came to Lystra. And people who were wanting to sacrifice to them now want to be a part of killing them. And so they take Paul to the edge of town and they stone him and they think they've killed him. Remember that? Paul, they thought he was dead. That's the only reason they stopped throwing stones at him. Paul did come to later. It says he went back into the city. And then the next day he's off and he continues, what? Preaching the gospel in other cities. And then we're told he comes back to the city. And Acts 14, 21, it says this. After they had preached the gospel to that city, another city, and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, listen to this, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Do you hear that? Paul, stoned on the verge of death, comes to, goes in, then he continues preaching in other cities. And now a part of his discipleship message is, hey, you trust in Jesus Christ. And then, notice this, part of the discipleship, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. So Timothy, here back in 2 Timothy 3, Timothy, you know me, you know the story, you know the suffering. Suffering's just part of the deal when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, did you notice verse 12? This is worthy of underlining in your Bible. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Verse 13, he says, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. In verse 1 of chapter 3, several weeks ago, we saw where it says, in the last times, difficult days will come because people are going to be lovers of self. They're going to be haters of good. We said, Timothy lived in those times, and we live in those times. But have you embraced that persecution's part of the deal as a follower of Jesus? Have you embraced that? You need to embrace it. In fact, this was one of the first verses I memorized as a new Christian. I don't know how I came upon it. I guess just the reading. 17-year-old, 18-year-old guy. I'm growing in my faith, and I come upon this verse, and I tuck that one away. And man, I thank God for that, because that's so helpful. When early in your walk with Jesus, you just recognize it's going to come. You memorize it before it happens, and then when you get some persecution, oh yeah, I'm not shell-shocked. I'm like, oh no, I didn't think. You're like, no, I saw it coming. I tell you what, the first incidents of persecution I can remember, it was pretty light, but I remember it. We had started a Bible study with five of us guys, and by the time we graduated and went off to college a year or so later, we had 40 or so from our high school coming onto a Monday night Bible study. And that was all fun. But a little persecution came because one of the guys we invited, I guess he came a little bit, I got word that his mother had said this about me. I'm 17, 18. I guess 18 at this time. And a mom from the nice part of town, opposite side of town of mine, she said this, that Jim Booth is a cult leader. All right, I got to tell you, I'm a brand new Christian, and I hear that, and I'm thinking, wow, okay, first of all, the lady knows who I am, and she's calling me a leader. That's kind of weird, because I'm on the wrong side of the tracks, literally. If you know my hometown of Rocky Mountain, I'm on the Edgecombe County side, right there near downtown, and here's this lady there, knows about me, and calls me a leader. That was kind of, I guess, a little bit of pride in there, but that felt a little good. But then it was an insult, a cult leader. No, this is no cult. It's pretty minor, right? Through the years, though, I can tell you I've had a lot worse said about me. This year, you remember? Horrible things, just terrible things. And you're like, but it never for a moment do you go, I never knew this would happen. I might not have known the occasion for that particular persecution, but the fact that people say horrific things, okay, that is part of the deal. And then you and I say, that's still nothing. Because you and I know there are degrees of persecution. So shunning and rejection, that's one level of persecution. You and I, who want to live godly in Christ Jesus, we might experience some shunning and rejection from people. We know we're going to get this. We're going to get some names and some labeling. That seems to be the go-to move of our generation. If you disagree with us, we're going to slap an ugly name on you. That is so embarrassingly middle school. But it's the move of those who are apart from Christ. We're just going to try to embarrass you by calling you a really nasty name. Part of the persecution, but that's still, it's embarrassing to mention compared to what comes. As a follower of Jesus, you could also lose your job and your livelihood. Maybe not so much here, although it's happened in our own nation in recent years, very recent years for some. But in other parts of the world, you won't get a job of any substance. You can lose your family. This is perhaps one of the most tragic ones. When you read about brothers and sisters overseas, when they put their faith in Jesus, they lose their wife. Their wife is taken back from them, and their children are taken from them. Can you imagine the heartbreak of that? Loss of freedom. We know about believers who are in jail even now for their faith in Jesus around the world. Loss of health, as beatings can come your way. A loss of life, martyrdom, can come. How many of you have read the book, The Insanity of God, by Nick Ripken? Any of you read that book? Let me just suggest a Christmas gift to yourself, to read that book, to download it or to go purchase a copy. It is good for your soul to read about what's been happening around the world as brothers and sisters in faith. They've trusted in Jesus Christ in places like the Middle East, in places like China. The cost and yet the faithfulness. It's very inspiring reading, and I highly encourage you to do that. Well, right now I want you to watch a quick video. It's a 3-minute video, and it really illustrates this point of persecution. It's a good friend of mine that I know from overseas. I want you to hear him talk about persecution. He's also going to talk about why it's important to continue giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. So this is going to accomplish two things. But right now, my main purpose at this juncture is to talk about persecution. Take a look.
Nobody knows where this country is. They know that they're on the outside of history and they're not cared for. For us to be able to show up and begin to tell them that God loves them, this is water on dry ground. This is remarkable news. Calling on people to give up Islam and embrace Christ, this is a big deal. Persecution comes every time that the gospel is proclaimed here. I went up to a city in the north ready to give this teaching in a small church and talk about the cost of discipleship. And I sat in this on the floor with this small group, and they said, let's all share our testimonies. Mostly women in the group. And as it came around to the end, this one lady, and she just said, oh, I'm just very blessed, and I'm so thankful to be here. And the lady next to her said, don't you do that. You tell him the truth. You tell him that every night after you go to these meetings, your husband beats you, and last week he beat you with a hammer. And tears shot to my eyes, and I thought, how could I tell this people you go out and suffer for Christ's sake? And God just grabbed me by the collar and he said, you're not asking them, I am. My national team of guys went down into the south part of the country, and there they found this guy, and he said, oh, I'm so glad that you've come. I haven't seen another Christian in over 2.5 years. And they said, listen, these guys are drinking straight out of the ditches that are irrigating their cotton fields. I had a guy tell me, my wife is just really discouraged and wants to leave the village, but we've got nowhere to go. And she had 3 children in 3 years, and they've all died. It's waterborne diseases. It's killing. So you can get them clean drinking water. Changes everything in their family. I really did not believe that I would still be here 17 years later. And I realize that that takes a lot of patience and a lot of endurance. It takes that on my part, and it takes that on the part of the people who've sent us out. And they've been giving faithfully, and the result is there's a church here, and there wasn't when I came. So I really want to say thank you to everyone for giving to International Missions.
Place the gospel goes, there's persecution. And you heard what that woman endures for her faith in Jesus. Well, let's talk real quickly now about what do we do. We don't like the fact that we live in a world of danger. We don't like the fact that because of our faith in Jesus, extra danger is brought our way, extra opposition. So what do we do in light of this? This text talks about it here. Paul acknowledged to Timothy that this is just how it goes. But notice he never says, hey, lay low. Because there's a cost to following Jesus, just lay low. In fact, maybe even retreat. Neither did he say, how about this? Why don't we go into whining and complaining mode? Let me remind you that not everything that goes on in this country toward us is persecution. For instance, let me remind you at this Christmas season that it's not the job of the stores to wish us Merry Christmas. That's not persecution that a store says season's greetings to us. Big deal. In fact, let me remind you, it's never been the job of Sears to tell us of Christmas joy. It's our job as those who've been set free from our sin, been given the gift of heaven, it's our job to go around with smiles speaking of the love of Jesus. So we can't go out into these stores snarky. Do you really care what color your coffee cup is? And I've not heard any of our people complain about that. I don't even know any Christians who really were bothered about that. But let's just make sure we're not of that group. Who cares what color cup Starbucks serves us at Christmas time? It's not their job to wish us Merry Christmas. We don't want to go in there snarky, complaining and petitioning. We've got the message of life. We know the light of the world. Let's go in with joy to those who don't know Jesus. So that's not persecution. We've just heard description of persecution, beatings, hit with hammers, and we talked about that. So what do we do, though, because of this reality? Here's what we do. Three things really quickly. We keep following Jesus. What does he say here in the text? Verse 14, you, however, continue in the things you've learned. Not, oh, it's so hard now, maybe we should find another path. No, you continue. Timothy, you know the way, you know how I've lived, you know the suffering. What do? Keep following Jesus. Can you imagine any other thing that you might do? Can you even imagine turning away from Jesus, even if it gets hotter and more difficult? Absolutely not. If they told me, hey, Jim, everybody who wants to eat pizza will be persecuted, I'd probably give up pizza. You know, I mean, not name calling, but if they say we will lock you up, we will threaten you big time, we might take your life for eating pizza, I'd give it up, I'll eat something else. Or if they said, hey, Jim, everyone who wants to be a Carolina Panthers fan will be persecuted, would I give them up? Not if there's just name calling, but if jail's on the line, you say, but they're undefeated. I know. I'd give them up. I'd pull for somebody else because I'm not going to be persecuted for a sports team. But if you say everyone who wants to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, you're going to give him up? No. Not even a thought. Are you with me? Not a thought. You wouldn't dream of it. You have Jesus. You have the life. And so, of course, what's our alternative? It gets hot. It might get hotter. What's our move? I'm going to continue to follow Jesus. Do to me what you want. Now, I might do like Paul. When it got really hot and they started beating him, he did move on to another city. That's not ungodly. We'll preach the gospel elsewhere. And we'll keep moving and preaching the gospel. But we're going to keep following Jesus. Secondly, what else do? We live godly in Christ Jesus. Now, there is a way to avoid persecution, and that is if you become a Christian who's just like everybody else in the culture. Oh, you don't like the biblical views? I'll set those aside. If that's not popular and you're going to call me a mean name, well, then I will cave on that. And so there is a way to compromise and not live godly in Christ Jesus to try to avoid persecution. By the way, the world won't respect you for that either. They might applaud you for a while, and you're just in their camp. But they know you caved. And so, hey, we're going to continue to follow Jesus. Let's live godly. That means let's be all in. And all in might cost us. But listen, all in also blesses us. There's no joy like being all in with Jesus. There's no peace like being all in with Jesus, no matter what the threats are out there. What else do? We keep drawing strength and wisdom from the Word of God. Do you notice here in the text, and this is what we'll look at more in a future message, but Paul goes there into the Scripture. He says to Timothy, verse 15, hey, you know, even from your early life, how you were taught the sacred writings, the Scriptures. And then he goes in this great statement about how all Scriptures God-breathed, all Scriptures inspired, and it's profitable for all these things. So, hey, Timothy, keep on living godly in Christ Jesus, even though it brings heat, and keep on being biblical. Keep on hanging on to the truth. In fact, this is the big battle line for a lot of our opposition in the culture, is what is truth? And don't let anybody convince you to set aside the Scriptures and what it teaches. Hang on to the Word of God. And so I want you to think with me. I told you about the book Insanity of God. I encourage you to read it. In there, Nick Ripken tells the story of these Chinese believers in an underground church, and he saw them, and when the secret gathering, he got to observe, they were tearing up a copy of the Bible. And at first, he's like, what are they doing? And then somebody quickly explained, here's what they're doing. These guys don't have a full copy of the Bible. And the churches that they pastor don't have full copies of the Bible. And so what they're doing is at this copy here at this secret meeting, they're all tearing out a portion to take back and share with their churches. And they're trying to decide who has already got this portion. We'll make sure you get a new portion to go back and teach your people. Do you hear how precious the Word of God is? Even in a place of persecution like those guys went through, then the question comes to us, what role does the Word of God play in our lives? Are we taking it as that kind of treasure where if I could just have a part of it, I would be thrilled? Hey, let's make great use of the Bible. Well, let's close this way. In a world of woe, let me ask you, do you know Jesus? In a world of terror, do you know peace through a relationship with Jesus Christ? In a world of unpredictable danger, have you been rescued by Jesus Christ? Again, as I mentioned to you earlier in the service, trust in Him right now. Jesus, I'm trusting in You. Save me. Forgive me. Take over. I want to live godly in You. I want to follow You all in. Take me from here. Listen, if you have a heart like that, you can be born again today. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's pray. God, we are grateful that this is not a book of sweet little stories detached from reality, but here is instruction for life in the very world we live in. And God, this is a gift that You've given us. Not only did You save us, but then You gave us this light for our feet, for our path, and we're so grateful. And Lord, I pray, as we've often prayed around here through the years, that You would make all of us as believers in this body, make us both rugged and radiant. Help us to be strong, never dreaming of veering off because of any heat and opposition. But Lord, make us not just rugged, make us beautiful witnesses in these days. Confidently, graciously pointing people to You so that they too can have hope and life in You. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together.